Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. In this lesson, we're looking at questions and answers 17 and 18. Question 17 reads as follows. Into what estate did the fall bring mankind? Answer, the fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. Now, in question and answer 18, the Catechism delves into the question of the sinfulness of that estate wherein man fell. And in question 19, the Catechism delves into the question of the miseries that are involved in this life due to the fall. Into what estate did the fall bring mankind? The fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. Question 18. Wherein consists the sinfulness of that estate wherein to man fell? The sinfulness of that estate wherein to man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. The first thing that the Catechism gives us with regard to the sinfulness of the estate wherein to man fell is the guilt of Adam's first sin. Adam sinned in the garden. God gave Adam a very specific command. From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die. Adam violated that command of God. Adam sinned. Sin is any transgression of the law of God. Adam transgressed. He violated. He broke the command of God. And he ate the forbidden fruit. When he did so, as we've seen in a previous lesson, Adam acted as a public figure. That is, he represented all of his posterity. He acted on their behalf. And when he sinned, we sinned in him and fell with him. As Romans 5:19 says, by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Well, of course, you may object. It's not fair that Adam acted on my behalf. I should have had the privilege of acting on my own. Well, all of the fallen angels acted on their own. They did not have a representative. They were unlike Adam and all of his posterity. They acted on their own. And as a consequence, they do not have a Savior. This is one of the significant points you and I must not neglect to understand. You see, since Adam represented all of his posterity in his sin and fall, Christ, the second Adam, comes along and represents all of his spiritual posterity. In other words, Christ, on one hand, fulfilled all of the commandments of God on behalf of men and women and young people and children like you and me. And Christ also went to the cross to pay the penalty for the sin committed by Adam and all of our individual sins. Christ represented us before God in keeping the law holy and in dying and paying the penalty of death for each of us. What a wonderful thing that is. So if you accept the atonement of Christ as Christ being a representative for you, you must also accept the fact that Adam represented you in the fall. The same thing applies on both counts, Adam and Christ. And so the catechism is correct. The sinfulness of that estate wherein man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin and the want of original righteousness. When Adam sinned, well, let me put it this way. When God created Adam with true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. This meant that Adam was able to judge justly. He was righteous before God. He had true knowledge. He knew who he was as a creature of God, and he knew who God was and is as the Creator. And Adam was perfectly set aside for the purposes of God. He was holy. The essence of holiness is being set aside for the purposes of God. But then Adam sinned. Adam willfully chose unrighteousness. Adam willfully selected to violate the righteous command of God. And when Adam chose unrighteousness in favor of righteousness, he lost. He lost the righteousness with which he was created. As the Catechism says, the sinfulness of that estate wherein a man fell consists in the want of original righteousness. That original righteousness was besmirched. That original righteousness was tarnished. That original righteousness was blemished when Adam chose willfully to move in an unrighteous direction and disobey the clear and righteous command of the great and holy God. And then what does the Catechism say? The sinfulness of that estate wherein a man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature. When Adam sinned and Eve sinned, the Bible says their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. What does this mean? It means that Adam and Eve went through a spiritual conversion. They went through a spiritual experience. You remember when the disciples were on the Emmaus Road after the resurrection, and Jesus came and walked with them, and they didn't recognize him. But then they broke bread together, and in the breaking of bread, their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. In other words, those disciples went through a deep spiritual experience in their hearts, and their eyes were opened, and their hearts were opened, and so they recognized and acknowledged Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Now, Adam and Eve went through a similar experience in the garden. Their eyes were opened all right, but they went through what I call a negative conversion experience. And when that occurred, their dispositions, the inclinations of their hearts, were changed. Listen to what Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says about the wickedness of man. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The thoughts of the hearts of men and women were continually evil. And not only so, the Bible says here that every intent of the thoughts of the heart were only evil continually. Imagine that. That every purpose behind every thought was only evil. What the Bible here is talking about is the inclination of the heart. As Adam and Eve were created by God, they were inclined to do good. But they were capable of change. And great change came about when they sinned against God and when Adam willfully chose unrighteousness. The inclination of his heart was altered. And when that took place, every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. In other words, his whole nature was corrupted. Well, you see, this would have to be the case. If every inclination of his heart, every desire of his heart, every disposition within him was now leaning toward evil, everything in his being was then bent toward evil, and he was corrupt in his whole nature. Now, we're going to have to talk about this a little bit more when we come to the miseries of this life into which we are brought by the fall. But for now, get this single point, that the disposition of the heart, the inclination of the heart, the purposes of the heart are only evil continually. And how is this worked out? Well, the Catechism says that actual transgressions proceed from this evil disposition which is in the heart. And so we're going to have to talk about that in a moment. But for now, let's look at the Catechism again. The sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin. Here we have the definition of original sin. What is original sin? Original sin refers to the corruption of the nature of the fallen human being. It's a little amusing, is it not, that often we hear this, well, I'm only human, so I err, I fail, I do things wrong. Well, sinning and doing things wrong is not an integral part of being a human being. When human beings were first created by God, they were created with true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And they could live a perfectly good life without sin in the garden. And so, erring and sinning is not a part of being human. Erring and sinning is part of being a fallen human being. And the fact that we're fallen, the fact that our whole nature is corrupt and sinful, is the definition of original sin. Original sin does not refer to the first sin committed by Adam. Original sin refers to the sinful nature of the fallen human being. And all actual transgressions proceed from this fallen, sinful nature. Think about this now. This is devastating. The Ten Commandments say, "You shall have no other gods before me." But what do? We worship ourselves, and we worship other creatures rather than the living God. We worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. The second commandment says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol." And yet we idolize athletes, musical performers, and we idolize gold and silver and cars and clothing. We work for these things tenaciously. We idolize these things. We idolize position, and we look up to improperly people who have governmental positions, and they look on themselves as those who can look down at others. We violate the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself an idol in so many ways. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And we use the name Jesus. We use the name God. We use the title Christ in many unseemly ways as exclamation points at the end of sentences. Oh no! Too often we take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ lightly and use it in a vain and empty way. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We fail to set aside one day in seven to worship the Lord as we should. To publicly worship the Lord and privately worship the Lord. God forgive us for our failure personally and as families and in our culture and society for failing to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. Too often authority is besmirched. The authority of the police, the authority of the military, figures in government are not honored the way they should be. And figures of authority in our businesses are not honored the way they should be. And of course, in our families, honor your father and your mother. Don't scoff at them. Don't roll your eyes at them when they ask you to do something. Honor them. You shall not murder. Abortions by the millions are committed in this country today. I heard a startling statistic 2 or 3 days ago that the major number of abortions happen in the black community. And since Roe v. Wade was established by the Supreme Court as the supreme law of the land, and abortions became legalized. If so many abortions had not been had not been accomplished in the black community, that the African-American community in the United States would be one-third of the population of the United States. A staggering figure. You shall not commit adultery. Sexual relations are reserved by God for the marital relationship. Always remember that this is the case. And do not engage in promiscuous sexual activity. You shall not steal. It costs businesses millions of dollars every year because employees pilfer pencils and pens and paper clips. Millions every year. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. One of my favorite stories along this line is our driving in Colorado Springs years ago and coming up behind a car, and on the back bumper there was a sticker with a question. What would happen if everyone told the truth? I looked over at my wife sitting next to me in the car, and I said, the entire political establishment in Washington, D.C. would collapse instantaneously if everyone told the truth. We are so used to politicians lying to us that we take it for granted. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. You shall not covet. The commandment means you shall not lust. You shall not lust. And lust is the root of temptation. And when we lust in our hearts, we are on the verge of breaking all of the other commandments. And from whence cometh lust? From the heart, from the fallen disposition, and the violation and transgression of all the other commandments comes from the fallen disposition. Again, listen to the Catechism. Into what estate did the fall bring mankind? The fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. Wherein consists the sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell? The sinfulness of that estate whereinto man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. All actual transgressions proceed from the sinfulness of our hearts, from that original sin we bear. And what does all of this mean? You and I, friends, need a Savior. You and I need a Deliverer and a Redeemer. You and I need Jesus Christ. Who is it that will deliver you from the sinfulness of this estate into which you and I have fallen as a result of Adam's sin? Only Jesus Christ can bring you out of the pit of this sinfulness. Turn to Him. Recognize Him as the Lord and Savior of life. And love Him. Thanks for listening.